Welcome to the Cosmic Productivity Method, the podcast for high-achieving women who are done doing everything right and still feeling like it's never enough. I'm Chelsea Neumeyer, productivity witch, certified behavioral change specialist, and recovering type A good girl perfectionist. In this podcast, we stop running on autopilot, start creating time freedom that actually fits your life. Here, productivity isn't just about doing more, it's about doing what matters most. Using a blend of behavioral science, astrology, and human design, I help you break free from hustle culture and build a life that gives you time freedom, not just another to-do list. Each week, you'll hear unfiltered stories, cosmic insights, and practical experiments designed to help you reclaim your energy, rewrite your routines, and run your life like the masterpiece it is. Whether you're a Leo craving legacy, a manifesting generator breaking all the rules, or just a woman tired of checking every box but her own joy, this is your lab for redesigning productivity one aligned experiment at a time. Let's get started. Hello. In this episode, I am so excited to welcome Emily Rushell to the show. Emily is a soul expansion coach for wild and waking women, guiding leaders, dreamers, and changemakers, especially in rural communities, back to their trusted selves. She's known for challenging the status quo and helping women break free from inherited limitations so that they can embody their truth and create real impact. As the host of the Wild and Waking podcast and facilitator of retreats, workshops, and community spaces, Emily creates environments for deep connection, healing, and expansion. Her signature Wild and Waking framework supports women in moving from performative survival to embodied leadership, releasing old narratives and stepping into aligned, unapologetic expression. Through her work, Emily helps women come home to themselves and lead lives rooted in purpose, power, and intention. This episode is deep. We cover so much, and I am such a huge fan of Emily's work. I cannot wait for you to dig in and listen to this episode.
I am so excited today to welcome Emily to the podcast. Thank you so much for being here. I've overlapped in so many ways, and I'm fangirling, honestly, because I love following you on Instagram. So thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, absolutely. I'm excited to be here. We're going to have some really good conversations.
Yes, I'm so excited to dig in. And I'd love to just kick off by learning a little bit more about you and your background and what brought you to your business as it is today.
I feel like that's always such a loaded question. You're like, and where do I begin? But I like to really take it back to 2019. And a moment where I was 6 months postpartum with my second child. At the time, I had been an elementary school teacher and I was working in the nonprofit space in 2019. And I had lived so much of my life just trying to be good, trying to do as much as I could for everyone else, achieve all of the things, help people as much as humanly possible. And looking back, I can see that it was really rooted in this place of needing to earn my worth and my value and my love through what I could do for everyone else. So here I was trying to be a good wife, trying to be a good mom to this baby, to this toddler, doing the very best I could to serve my community through the work that I was doing at the nonprofit. And I was so far on the back burner. Like I wasn't even in the kitchen anymore. And I think I share that because so many women can identify with the, I've checked all of the boxes. I did all of the things. I'm supposed to be living happily ever after. Why do I feel crazy and miserable? Which then sunk me into a place of shame. I have everything I've ever wanted. Why can't I just be happy? Why am I so angry? Why am I so dysregulated? I didn't have the language for that at the time. But that really launched a whirlwind of a journey that brings us to today through personal growth and development, goals, habits, understanding that I had agency and autonomy to take control of my life in a way that I had never understood before. Brought me to leaving my full-time job, leaping into the unknown of entrepreneurship after building an online community that was really rooted in all of these things that I was learning about goals and habits and what does it mean to live life with intention, specifically in the context of the situation in which I live in a very small town, a rural community. I'm married to a farmer. We're in the middle of the Midwest, wide open skies in a quote-unquote town of 42 people. And I didn't see any representation of women talking about that who also lived the kind of lifestyle that I did. So that's really the heartbeat of so many of the women that I have served over the years. And that has taken twists and turns from helping women achieve their goals and dreams and start really beautiful businesses and nonprofits and really doing deeper integrated healing work within themselves, right? My own therapy journey, my own asking deeper sets of questions around somatics and how everything lives within our body and can be traced back to our child. And then we start opening Pandora's box from the Enneagram to human design, more recently astrology. I know that's very much within your wheelhouse. A couple of years ago, after years of coaching and facilitating masterminds and leading retreats, I just kept coming up against the same question of like, why are these brilliant, impact-driven, high-achieving women who are bringing such beautiful gifts to the world grappling with almost crippling self-doubt, imposter syndrome, lack of confidence, right? We all called it different things, but we were bumping up against the same, ultimately, what I've traced back to this lack of self-trust. And it kept being like, why is this happening? Where does this come from? And just began this whole systemic unraveling of understanding our families of origin, these systems and structures in which we're raised, politics, religion, economics, capitalism, patriarchy, right? Like we could go down so many trails here just of how women have been systemically disconnected from their power, from their inner knowing, from who they are, right? Because the more that we feel like we're problems to fix, the more money we spend, the more we hustle for our worth, the more, you know, we bear the weight of so many of the things that make our society function right now. And so that's really what has brought me down what we were talking about before we hopped on this wild and waking journey, and really this framework of helping women unravel these expectations, these rules that they were handed that they never even consciously were aware of until all of a sudden just feels like you're questioning everything, which is a beautiful and incredibly disorienting and scary journey to going back to that remembering of who we are as individuals and through a lot of the tools that I know that you talk about, and also just like that innate ancient wisdom and the cyclical wisdom within our bodies, right? So all of these pieces of who we fundamentally are before the world told us who to be, but then also what that looks like as a collective, who humans and women were designed to be before we got manipulated into these structures. And then the reclamation that comes on the other side of that, where we start moving differently and integrating new information and making different choices that are more aligned with kind of these awakenings we've gone through. And then what I call the rise in how we embody that in leadership, and then specifically in building something better. And it's a journey that is nonlinear, which is so stressful for those of us who are so good at checking all of the boxes, right? Who are have like really gotten to the place where we are today by doing all the things that we were told to do. I know you talk a lot about dismantling. What does productivity look like? And so to go through this kind of nonlinear cyclical journey where things keep coming up and we keep going deeper and we keep exploring and also keep rooting deeper into ourselves is incredible and also so hard. And so that's where a lot of the community pieces that I'm so passionate come into play, and has really brought us to this present time moment, which I feel like is more timely and important than ever as we are watching the world as we know it in so many ways catch on fire. So yeah, that's what brings us to present day. Long story short.
No, it's amazing. And I love hearing that. I feel like I've been seeing this kind of transformation, at least with the women I follow. I'm so grateful that I've created such a beautiful like echo chamber for myself on Instagram, of seeing these journeys of people who were, you said the word hustle, right? Like I was waiting for that word to come up because it's inevitable, right? Like especially for millennial women, that was such a part of how we were raised and the expectations, and who didn't have the neon sign of hustle harder, right? Or something that monogrammed on something in our home at some point. And watching this transformation away from that hustle culture, away from checking the boxes and doing everything. And even me, I'm struggling so much with the title of productivity and time management coach, because it's not, yes, I can help you be more efficient, but it's more about what do you actually want to do? Like, what are you actually working towards? What is on your plate that you didn't put there and you don't want to do anymore? And having those redefining some of these words and frameworks that we've found ourselves in. Yeah. Not by your own choice.
Gosh, I even look at how I got into this work and how much masculine hustle energy was rooted in even what I was doing at the time, right? I was training for half marathons. Not that there's anything wrong with that, right? Like so much of my core messaging was like, you can do it, like reach all of your goals, reach for the stars. And I believe that is so powerful and so possible. And so it's such a huge piece of my story. But it's like the next evolution was like unraveling. Like, why did I feel like I needed to do those things in the first place? And where is the space between achievement and doing from a place of fire and passion and purpose that's not connected to hustling for worth, hustling for meaning, like filling that void within that will never be filled by those external achievements, right? It's like the gap in the gain mentality. And that has been such a confusing, evolving journey over the years. Once I deconditioned and started pulling back and recognizing this addiction that I had to achievement and accolades as a means of defining worth, it was like in the absence of that anxiety, like I don't want to do anything. Like I do want to, but I don't know how to do anything. And it was like this pendulum swing that was, I keep using the word disorienting, but it was like, I don't know how to exist on the other side of that. And that's really been my journey for the past several years, is like going deeper within myself and rebuilding my relationship with self. Because when we have that really solid foundation, and not just like step one is like being able to recognize your strengths, which is something that women in general struggle to do.
Absolutely.
But like, how do you not only love those parts of yourself, but really be willing to walk into the depths and sit in the darkness and hold hands with and befriend the depths of who you are and love those parts just as equally as the things that feel shiny and strong and attractive, right? And some people call that light work versus shadow work, whatever, I don't care. But that was a huge piece of my journey, is being able to walk through what felt like hell and being like, I am safe and I know who I am and I trust the relationship with I have with myself and I trust my inner authority more than I do anyone else's. And that really builds that confidence that so many of us come into the work that we do craving. Like we see other women, we're like, oh, I wish I had her confidence. Or if I could just be confident, then I could show up online. Once I get the confidence, then I will be able to X, Y, and Z. Once I get the confidence, then I won't care what other people think. And it's like, you don't just magically fabricate that. And for years I did, right? I was like cosplaying as confident because I got social reward from it, right? But it was just another mask that I was wearing to hide really deep insecurity and a really shaky relationship that I had with who I was on such an intimate level. And so that's where tools like Human Design or astrology or Enneagram or whatever can just help build that lens of, oh, this is who I am. And there's nothing wrong with that. And sure, I can work with pieces of this. And there are things that I want to grow and evolve into. But fundamentally, at a core level, like I am not broken or wrong for being me. And when we start moving through the world with that level of self, not only self-awareness, but self-trust and sovereignty, then we don't need to look elsewhere for that validation of you're doing a good job, you belong, you have permission to do and be whoever you want to be. And I feel like that's really the work that so many women in my circle are moving through, is like unraveling of like, why do I feel any of this in the first place? Where did this come from? And what's not even mine to hold that I've been like holding myself accountable to? It doesn't even make sense anymore. And then being able to move from that place of wholeness is a ripple effect that has more impact than we could have ever imagined when we were trying to make the world a better place from deeply unhealed spaces.
Oh my gosh. I'm scrambling to try to take notes because there's so many things I want to jump back to. Because I remember that moment you described, like I remember the exact moment where I was like, I don't want the next thing in my career, but who am I if I'm not working towards that thing? I remember like exactly where I was when I had this like deep realization. And yeah, it is disorienting, a little scary. And like how I've been wrestling with this, exactly what you're talking about too. Like I have all this ambition. That's not gone. That's not the part of me that I even need to, and I'm not trying to remove it, but it's no longer for the things that I thought it was for.
Yeah.
that's where I'm, it is like that cyclical one step forward, two steps back sometimes. But I also was laughing a little bit to myself when you were talking about like that, the confidence and showing up. And but it's also like that insecure feeling, because you shared your a little bit of your astrology with me before. And I was like, that is so Leo rising coded, right? That is, Leos are the ones who show up with such confidence. They're the life of the party. They like have all this exuberant energy, but deep down we are a little insecure and need to feel seen, mm-hmm. to feel more, like to get that confidence, to get that validation.
Yeah.
When you were talking about getting to know yourself deeply and trusting yourself deeply, what were some of the tools that helped you through that process and to help start building that self-trust and confidence in yourself?
Yeah. Oh, that's such a good question, because there are so many different things. And I think I even struggle with this in my own business, because I'm like, oh, what is like the one thing that I could create that's going to help someone like magically change their life? And it's like, actually, do you want to come down a multi-year journey with me? Because that's what's going to do it. It's like everything, right?
Can you please give me the checklist on how to fix myself?
Absolutely. Here's your tangible takeaway to just like magically. Exactly. Okay. So let me just touch on some of these pieces that I started exploring that I feel like contributed to a multi-year evolution to rebuild my relationship with self. I don't need to talk about tools like human design and astrology, because anyone who's listening to your podcast is already familiar with that. Something random that maybe might be different than what someone would expect is one of my very best friends became a House of Color consultant. I don't know if you're familiar with House of Color, but there's many different variations, brands, methodologies for this, but it's basically trying to find the best colors that work for your skin, like what really makes you shine. Oh, okay. There's like different seasons, right? Spring, winter, autumn, summer, yada, yada, yada. Again, you can go a million different directions. There's tons of different avenues to do this. But prior to my appointment with her, for years, I have been wearing black, gray, navy, olive, right? Colors that we are flattering, that just make us blend in, that don't make you stand out too much. It's just, this is what adults do. My house was like the epitome of Joanna Gaines, millennial gray and white rustic farmhouse. We nailed it. Nailed it, because we were just like trying to be good grown-ups and make everything match. Like we just wanted to do a good job. And I feel like those two things are just so reflective of like the way that I was moving through life, of just trying to do a good job and do whatever what else was doing. And I wouldn't say I was consciously making that choice. It's just what was running my day-to-day decision-making. And I remember sitting in her chair and going through the process. And my season that I ended up with is spring, which is clear, bright, vibrant. It is like being a walking, talking bag of Skittles. And I was like, holy shit, like what? And then it sunk in of this is what my wardrobe looked like in middle school before I decided I needed to change who I was to be palatable, right? And so that began like a transformation of my wardrobe that really just handed me the permission slip to play with color and be the brightest person in the room and explore textiles and patterns and fabrics and just live in this like vibrant expression. And it was like, why did I need someone else to be like, you're a spring, you like bright things, when for years people had described my personality, you're an energy drink in a bottle, you're a ray of sunshine, right? That was my personality that people could see was so disjointed from the way that I was presenting myself. And it was like something as simple as this gave me permission to explore and express myself in such abundant ways. My husband ended up getting his colors done, and he's like such a rural farmer, right? But he loved that it like showed him who he was. He's bought three vehicles in his season since getting his colors done. Our house went through a major flood a few years ago. 38,000 gallons of water went through our house. And when we started putting everything back together, we're like, why is it so boring? And we started painting our walls. Like, I have a literal rainbow in my office now. My dining room is this deep, dark pink. Our living room is green. Our bedroom is turquoise. We have wallpaper that's wacky in all of these different places. And it was like, cares? Like, why? And so, it was like this permission slip to just be myself. And beyond that, I think I also started giving myself permission to explore curiosities without having to have any output or perfection related to them. I just want to read this book on this topic just because I want to know more. And I'm so massively curious. And I just started following all these different accounts and taking in new ideas and not having any expectation of I necessarily need to do something with this right now, or I immediately need to rearrange everything I've ever known to adopt this. But what if I just got more curious about what voices outside of this bubble that I exist in are saying about the world? And it's interesting, like when you start giving yourself permission to do that, it starts integrating all of these new things that do help you look in the mirror and compare, like, does this support the information that I was handed, this worldview that was curated for me, or not? And then that just allows you to expand. And I feel the more that you curate discomfort in the unknown and the willingness to sit and listen and not know and not have it all figured out, like, the more it helps you build this sense of self and identity that you created. It wasn't just like what you had absorbed. And then beyond that, I think starting to deeply understand the cyclical nature of life and business, especially for women, like deconditioning from this like patriarchal, masculine hustle energy of like always having to perform to the umpteenth output and then outperform yourself the next day over and over again, which just creates massive burnout and overwhelm. And starting to honestly reconnect and look to the world outside of our windows. Like, we forget that we are literally nature. Like, we don't just like nature. We are nature. And, you know, I live in the Midwest where we go through seasons of the year. We are not always blooming, right? The crops are not always abundant to harvest. There are seasons where we are meant to be more internal, where we are meant to be resting, where we are meant to be more dormant, or things are getting planted and starting to open. And once I started giving myself permission to also go through those cycles, right? Or looking to the moon is not always full, and just like understanding what the different seasons of the moon mean, or like understanding the cycle within my body. It was not until after my second child was born that I even knew what ovulation meant. That's embarrassing. Embarrassing.
Crazy, but so relatable, Emily. I'm still like every month, I'm like, wait a minute, why am I being cranky? Why do I feel miserable right now? Why?
Yeah. We were handed like, oh, PMS means you're being bitchy and then your period comes and everything sucks. Like, that's the extent of the information that I had about my body. And so understanding what am I energetically going through? What am I what's happening in my anatomy? Again, like, just helped me soften into, oh, like when I listen to my body, it's speaking to me. And like these things that it's moving through are not bad. What is the wisdom in the luteal? What am I meant to be experiencing during menstruation? And that's not a problem that I need to bitch about and solve. How can I support myself through that? How is that represented in these like other natural systems and cycles? That was a huge piece of it for me. And again, was like deconditioning from the, you need to be exactly the same and always on and always smiling and always productive and always doing every single day, 365 days a year. And so I feel like in so many ways, we're always looking for the like one solution. And my biggest encouragement to my community and to our listeners here is just allow yourself to like layer in this new information. And when something pings your attention for whatever reason, explore it, take what resonates, integrate it, and then like just let yourself continue to rebuild this relationship with yourself and rearrange everything you know to be true. There is actually no making it. And I think we look at our life as like the semesters of here's all of the assignments that you have, and then you get the final grade, and then you're done, and then it's completed. Or in professional environments, here's all the things that you need to do to fulfill your job requirements, and then you're going to be evaluated, and if you did a good job, you're going to get a promotion. Like, our life and our evolution and our growth doesn't work like that. We are on a forever journey. There is no end result until the end. And so I think another huge piece for me was just giving myself permission to always be evolving and not looking at every element of growth as like a problem to solve or something that I needed to fix. It was like, what can I learn? In what ways do I want to expand? How do I want to grow? Who do I want to learn from? What do I want to add to my awareness? And maybe that integrates into my work. Maybe it doesn't. But like, what a gift it is to create and explore and learn. And giving myself permission to do that instead of being like, what do I need to optimize to make my business better? Like, so much more fun. So much more fun.
Oh my God. That's so good. It makes me think of this quote I saw recently that was something like, I healed so hard my middle school self would be proud, or something like that. And because when you talk about the color and the interest, like being a little weird, right? And like digging into all these things that capture our attention without the expectation that we were an expert in it, right? Without the expectation that we just wanted to talk about it with all of our friends, but we weren't expert about it. We weren't being quizzed on this stuff. We weren't being tested. It was just something that was interesting and weird and got our attention and kept us entertained and learning and exploring.
Oh my gosh. Like, younger me was so obsessed with like Greek mythology. It's not a surprise, like all the things I'm digging into right now.
Textbooks. I'm Greek mythology from middle school. My astrology book is from middle school. I have all the names of my friends and their birthdays in the corner of all the pages.
So cool. Yeah. And when I was a little girl, I was so loud. I was so expressive. I was so creative. And for so many reasons, that was stifled. And it wasn't one big thing. I think sometimes we want to look to one trauma where it all began. And for some people that is true, but it's over time, I absorbed a series of micro experiences that taught me it was not safe to be who I was to the fullest expression. And rebuilding that has been so hard. Like, theoretically easy. They're like, what would your 6-year-old self love to do that? A lot of us can't remember because we have so many layers of things that have happened in trauma that like blocks that. But giving ourselves permission to do it in small ways, whether it's like playing with a crazy colored shirt or sitting down and doing watercolors with my daughter or putting on some music and dancing or singing terribly to a song that you loved when you were 12. It's so healing. And this is a total side tangent, but I think it's incredible, like what a different environment in so many ways our girls are being raised in right now. And it's not perfect. We still got a long way to go. But so many of the things that I think a lot of women our age grappled with or were pushed into or pulled away from are just not even something that crosses my daughter's mind. And just like how much more gifts or how much more permission she has to be the fullest expression of herself is amazing. It's so amazing and so healing.
Yeah. Oh, I love to hear that. It makes me hopeful that shift is happening. Because it is. I think you're exactly right. And as the type A checklist person, we want to look back and find that one moment but I think of the times where I would bring all this enthusiasm to something and was met with no enthusiasm. And it just kind of like consistently taught to tone it down. So for me, it's been getting so excited and invested that it's easy to talk about, like running, right? Or like when you're training, right? I'm sure you dove all in, right? You read the books, you listened to the podcast. You like, if someone said, oh, what are you doing this weekend? I'm training for the half. I used to run half marathons too. It becomes like the second nature identity piece. And that's where it makes it easier to start integrating all these different pieces and things that we're learning about in a way that feels much more like authentic. So you're just getting to nerd out about it and have fun. And that's awesome.
Yeah.
Beautiful. We covered a lot. And I really, it's like,
we could probably talk for 4 hours.
Oh my God. Easy. And I have so many notes of things I want to jump into. Okay. So the last little bit I do want to touch on, because I think you have such a beautiful way of thinking about this, is the sacred rage and personal power that you talk about in your work. And I know this is like a big topic and we can probably dig deep, but where did this start coming up for you and how have you been able to transmute it into something really powerful for yourself and in your work?
Oh, this is such a good question. I feel like those of us who identify as good girls or former good girls or people who played by the rules, checked all the boxes, We're very much given the narrative of your bad feelings are not welcome here. Stop crying or I'll give you something to cry about. Go to your room until you have a better attitude. And I get why our parents said those things. I am raising children who test every bit of knowledge that I have absorbed. But we definitely got the message that like negative feelings equals bad. Put a smile on, be palatable, be helpful, do it pleasantly. And I think a big part of once you start unraveling and when you start really coming home to yourself, there's this like fury that comes out and this anger and this rage of like, why is it like this? Why did it happen? There's this permission that starts coming forward to be pissed about like what got us into this circumstance, both on a personal level and as a collective. And for me, once I started actually learning how to feel my feelings in therapy, right? I had intellectualized everything that had ever happened before.
Oh my God, same.
And my therapist being like, how does that make you feel? I'm like, and then I would go into this whole other diatribe about like intellectually how I understood it. And she was like, but how does that make you feel? And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, that was visceral to start feeling things because I had outperformed, intellectualized, and checklisted my way into not feeling anything. And then starting to dive into this more like esoteric spiritual space, we talk about like high vibes and love and light. And I can't think of what it's called, but it's like the states of consciousness and like the vibrations of it. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And I remember I was interviewing someone and I was like, okay, we talk about needing to feel our feelings, but we're also talking about like being in a, like a state of high vibration. Like how that doesn't make, that seems like diametrically opposed. That doesn't make sense to me. And she was like, oh, it's not about always being up here and pretending like everything down here is not happening. That's bypassing. And that's not healthy. And we've been doing that. She's like, when you start digging into this and giving yourself really permission to feel, it is willingness to go into the depths and actually letting it move through you. I have a toddler and I have had toddlers. They are so fully expressed, right? When they're mad, they are kicking and screaming and yelling. And it may be 20 to 40 minutes of just violence.
Yeah.
And then they're like suddenly over it. And we're like, what's wrong? You were just so mad. And it's like, no, their little brains and bodies knew that you have to move things through. You have to feel them. You have to experience them. You have to let it work through your body. And then you can move on. And that's what she explained. That's part of this is learning to really deeply feel, learning how to move it through versus stuff it down so that then you can rise back up to your normal state of being. I saw a quote recently that was like, I'm able to hold so much rage because it's rooted in love. And I think the harder that we look with a critical eye at what is going on around us, the more rage that we feel.
Yeah.
I was recently having a conversation with a friend where we were specifically talking about, you know, my content and like how I want to talk about so many of these things that are happening and other examples that I had seen where I'm like, I don't disagree with this person, but it just feels yucky the way that they said it. And she was like, if you think of your anger and your rage and your frustration as a fire, unchanneled or without purpose, fire is destructive. It's wildfires. It destroys homes and livelihoods. And it's scary. It's terrifying. It's not contained. But if your rage is contained, if it is channeled for a purpose, fire is warmth. It's comfort. It's safety. It's filling our homes. It's sitting around a campfire. It's what we use for cooking. It like has it's a candle, right? It has this like very glowy, safe attraction to it. And she was like, you know, when you start experiencing the depths and the rage, and especially as you're looking outward or this rage you're feeling within yourself, specifically you asking, how does this translate to my work? It's okay, so what are we going to do about it? And what is the way in which you are channeling this rage to move forward a vision and to enact the change that you want to? Because if we're just screaming to the rooftops, bitching about something or like lacing as much hate and negativity into our rage as sometimes it feels like we want to, honestly.
It's very rightfully,
rightfully there. But it's like, what is the frequency that you are holding in which you are using this rage to empower and to ignite and to initiate systemic change or change within yourself or change within your community? And that has been a really powerful realization of what it looks like to hold space for the rage and the joy and like giving ourselves permission to experience it all and use it to drive our purpose, whether that is external, whether that's having a podcast, whether that's having a platform, or within our own communities or within our own families or within our own livelihoods. Because it can be really scary. Like when you are walking through this darkness, it can feel like hell. It can feel, anyone who has been on a therapy journey knows that there are days, weeks, months that feel worse before they feel better.
Absolutely. Right?
And it's like when you get to the other side of that and you can experience the whole span of the human psyche, then being able to use that sacred rage to initiate good and to make systemic change, I think that's really powerful. And that's where I think there's a lot of women who are being initiated into this rage portal as a means of like really stepping into their power and transforming what's no longer working and being really connected with themselves, having that high trust factor with themselves, being empowered to say and do things that they didn't have permission to say and do before, but doing it anyway and looking around to other women and coming together. Like when women, there's a reason we are so disconnected from each other, because when women come together, we are freaking a force. We are powerful,
for sure.
Powerful. Mm-hmm. And so it's like being able to channel and funnel that into something that drives wherever we fall into that forward, I think is something we're going to see a lot over the next couple of years and the next generation and beyond.
Yeah. Oh, so good. So good. Thank you. Thank you so much for everything I said. We definitely have a lot more to talk about, but I really appreciate you coming in. Where can folks find you? I know you have a free workbook for people to check out. I'll be linked in the show notes below, but where can people find you?
Yeah. So the workbook that you're referring to is the Wild and Waking Guidebook. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of a starting point for this Wild and Waking journey, starting to get reflective and ask those questions of where am I at and what's not serving me anymore? And where am I being called to go through this journey of unraveling and remembering and then reclaiming and inevitably rising? So it is just a little micro sample to get the ball rolling if you like that kind of thing. Otherwise, the Wild and Waking podcast is where you can explore a million more conversations like this and so much more. I think it's so cool right now. I have this living timeline of what this journey has looked like for me from 2022 till now. Like you can watch me start to ask different questions and weave in new ideas. And a lot of my clients say it's been really cool to get to see that happen in real time because it's given them permission to start exploring new things in different ways. So that's been really fun. I'm most active on Instagram and Threads at Emily Rushell, EmilyRushell. I do also, in fact, have a website. It's relatively under construction. So, you know, go there if you want. But and following this conversation, if there's anything that sparks something for you, shoot me a message on Instagram. I'd love to continue the conversation.
Oh, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being here today. And I really appreciate your time. I love learning from you. And I said this is definitely like a fangirl moment. So I really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you too. I'm so excited that we got connected through Kate. She's incredible.
Yes. Oh, she's the best. Thank you. All right, Cosmic Queen, that's a wrap for today's experiment. If you love this episode, don't keep it to yourself. Leave a review and tell the algorithm the world needs less burnout and more time freedom. If you want a little bit more cosmic productivity in your feed, I'm always on Instagram over at Chelsea N Coaching, stirring up experiments, routines, and a few spells for time freedom. I'll see you there.